Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to Oldie But A Goodie. This is probably the only podcast reviewing movies from 1994 in the order that they came out
in. Very specifically 1994.
Yes, there are perhaps other podcasts doing other years, but we are the only one doing 94. Exactly.
Yep.
What we do is we look at all the films that came out this week back in 94. We pick one, we watch it, we do a review.
We review a film, we talk about it, we spoil it. The spoilers. Yeah. Spoilers?
Mm-hmm.
You hear that? You hear that?
What's that?
That's a spoiler alert.
Ooh, it's a little spoiler alert there for you. My name is Sandro.
I exist. I'm here. I'm also Zach.
Yep. Hi, Zach. And we are Oldie But A Goodie.
Wow, perfect in sync right there. Oldie But Good, yes, goodie.
Yep.
And we rate him an oldie or a goodie.
Yeah, that's our rating system, but that's the title of the show.
What a great intro.
So I chose this week's Clear and Present Danger. The only other option was The Little Rascals, which is a family, quote-unquote, family-friendly comedy. We know that a lot of comedies that were family-friendly in 94 probably aren't anymore. It's about a bunch of, like, very young boys, and they have a treehouse, and no girls are allowed, and they're very anti-girls. And then one of their friends gets into a relationship, and I'm like, oh, we gotta break them up.
Great. What a movie. What a movie concept. Glad that was made.
To be honest, I think we would have had perhaps a better discussion watching that one than we were with this one. I don't know.
The thing was, this movie was really long.
Yes.
It was really long, and there was a lot of things to try and keep track of.
Yeah.
It was a movie for the intellectual.
It was a movie for your grandpa, who considers himself to be an intellectual.
Yeah. It's not for an actual intellectual.
No, it's just for grandpas.
It's for someone... Sure, we'll go with that.
It's a grandpa movie. But yeah, I definitely agree. Like, it is a Jack Ryan movie. Jack Ryan, a character created by Tom Clancy. Tom Clancy is an author who loves just dry military tactics.
I would add, I like grandpa. I think that is his target audience, grandpa, but also uncle.
Oh, yeah, no.
Uncle as well.
Uncles would love this movie.
Yeah.
I would agree with the uncle thing. But yeah, like, have you seen, read, played any Tom Clancy stuff? Like Splinter Cell or The Division or like Rainbow Six or all the games that he did?
Yeah. Not a single one. Like, although the game, Rainbow Six Siege, pretty good.
It's a good game. Anyway, it's based off the novel Clear and Present Danger that came out in 89. Also, technically a sequel to two movies.
Yep.
It's technically a sequel to The Hunt for Red October, which came out in 1990, which has Sean Connery playing Jack Ryan. And it's also a sequel to 92's Patriots game, which has Harrison Ford as Jack Ryan. But is set after this film?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Before this, who knows? I think it's very confusing.
It's like a James Bond... a sequel. None of the others matter.
Yes, correct.
So, yeah.
He acts very, like, I noticed this and liked the fact that he acted sort of, like, out of his element when he was sent out in the field, because he's more like an office guy.
Mm.
But the other movies exist, and in those he's already done action, so what's the timeline? We don't know, we don't care. We didn't check.
It doesn't matter. Don't care. You will like this.
Yep.
The director of this film, his name is Philip Noyce. He directed Patriots Game, the previous one, and then he also did Rabbit Proof Fence and Salt. He's mainly done TV stuff recently, though, so good on him. You got Harrison Ford as the main character, Jack Ryan. Was he good?
Harrison Ford, he's he was pretty good.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, no, he was actually pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, what about? What
like
about?
Every scene he was in, I was like, he's
Harrison
Ford.
What about James L. Jones as
Garbage. I hated it.
As James Gere. What? He was the right... He's great. James Earl Jones is great as everything.
Nah, he was actually real good.
He was very funny in this.
What do you mean? Like,
he cracked a lot of jokes.
Yeah, that's fair. He did actually crack a lot of jokes, and they were great. I love them. But then he died.
Yeah.
And that...
Spoilers.
The biggest joke of all.
Oh, we've done two films this year where he has died.
Oh, Lion King, obviously. Yeah. That's funny.
William Dafoe is in this. Yep. He plays a character called John Clark, who is like in all the books. So that's cool. Do you like a bit of Green Goblin mixed in there?
Yeah. Oh, I always do, Sago. I always do.
Yeah.
I've been known to say, like, in conversation, talk about movies and being like, you know what this movie needs? Mm. A little bit of Green Goblin.
Ooh, yeah.
It's that little bit of, like, when you're baking a cake and then you need to add a pound of salt to it. And people take a bite and I'm like, what the fuck am I eating? And I say, you're eating 2% cake and 98% salt.
Oof.
And then I throw a goblin bomb at them.
Okay.
And I fly away on
this. This happens at every single party you're at. Bake a cake and happens.
I'm not allowed to bake cakes anymore.
No. According to the Australian government, can't. Correct. You just can't. You legally can't. As soon as you do, you get arrested.
Yeah.
It's
mostly because the salt is cocaine. But anyway.
Whoa. Okay. So, you want to admit to anything else on the podcast?
No, I'm good.
All right, cool.
Oh, assault. Because I threw a goblin bomb at someone, you know?
Oh, you're very salty today.
Oh, what a joke. What a great joke, Sandra.
No, it wasn't. It was terrible.
How about we replay that one?
I think that joke would get...
Oh, it is assaulting because salt, wow!
What was that? That was the instant replay that we've got here on the show. Ah, it's so good.
It was an exact impression.
The budget is huge.
Yeah.
Our budget is huge.
Yep.
This film's got 80% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really? Wow. Yep. People enjoyed it. I fell asleep in my head.
Yeah.
Watching this movie.
I mentally did fall asleep at one point.
Yes. But Harrison Ford was really good.
He's good.
I'll give it 80% just for Harrison Ford.
That's fair. Audiences gave it an A on CinemaScore.
Well, there you go.
So also positive from them, was nominated for 2 Academy Awards, the Oscars.
Wow.
Best Sound, Best Sound Editing.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really notice that as like a big part of it.
Not really.
So that's very weird. Maybe it's just like one of those things where it's a popular movie, so they just have to put it in some category.
Yeah.
Because they just don't want to put it in other ones.
All right, with all that in mind, and the fact that it cost $62 million to make...
$62 million.
What do you think it made?
160. Ooh. Or around that, you know?
Quite a bit higher.
Quite a bit higher.
Quite a bit higher.
Okay. 250.
Ooh, a little bit lower.
220.
Yes.
Yeah?
$220 million.
Well, there you go.
Is what it made.
I didn't expect it to be rated so highly because I got bored.
I think maybe it's because action films now and films like this have changed a lot. It's very rare that we will get a movie like this.
Yeah, you're right.
I think the closest one might be Bridge of Spies with Tom Hanks from like 5 years ago. Is like the closest one that I have seen that reminded me.
I really enjoy the sort of cartel aspect of this.
Totally
movie.
Not Pablo Escobar.
Yeah. Totally not Pablo Escobar. But that whole half of that film was actually pretty good.
Yeah. Like everyone like lying to each other and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it was
good. Well, I guess we should jump into the film then. Clear and Present Danger starts off with fun.
I thought it was okay.
Okay.
It was like a very, like, not too heavy-handed on the fun, but not really committing enough.
You're right
for,
there.
For a good 90s font for me.
You're right. It definitely.
So I think it was good. It was okay.
What about the American flag waving in the background?
That thing.
The title came on.
It was really weird how they filmed that. Because I get they have a flapping American flag in the background. That's cool.
Yeah.
But it was like waving back and forth, back away from the camera, then forward at the camera, the back, the forward, the back. It was like, oh, okay, I don't like this. This is doing something weird to my eyes. Mm. So, yeah.
But anyway, we zoom out. The flapping American flag is on the ship.
Yeah, it's on like the Coast Guard or the Navy.
Yeah, one of those two.
Some sort of American ship.
Yep.
And they spot a ship.
Another
just
ship.
Just sort of in the ocean.
They approach the ship.
And they're like, oi, stop,
yeah,
idiots.
And they're like, oh no, well, it's you got us.
Yep.
Put our hands up. And just don't check inside the ship.
Please.
Just don't go in there.
Don't go in there. Nah. And then the cops are like, oh, what do you mean don't go look in the ship? And they're like, nothing.
Nope.
And they're like, oh yeah, we'll see about nothing. And they're like, no. But then they go inside and they find lots of blood.
Lots of blood.
Lots of blood and, like, traces of, like, some really important person. Like, the president's friend or something like that. President's
friend is found...
Best boy.
Destroyed.
Yep.
And then we cut to Harrison Ford being told this.
Yep.
At a meeting.
Yeah.
And James L. Jones is like, you
gotta look into this.
You gotta look into this. And Harrison Ford goes... Ooh, it's so mysterious. Ooh.
Yeah. No, he goes like, oh, yeah, why do I have to be careful about this? And the guy's like, you'll see. And he's like, ooh, mysterious. Ooh.
It's great.
Yeah, no, it's great.
It's good. Harrison Ford is really good at, like, responding to other people in this film.
Yeah, it's great. Every time he's on screen, I'm like, good time.
He goes to the White House and is like, yep, there was a murder on board this ship. And the president's like, hey, that was my friend. I'm very angry.
Yep.
And Harrison Ford is like, well, it's funny that he was your friend because turns out your friend was actually involved with the Colombian drug cartel. And the president's like, oh no!
Yep, that is the exact quote.
Yeah, then we're introduced to one of the villains of the film.
Yep.
Several
of them.
There's so many villains in this movie. Yeah. Pretty much everyone that isn't Harrison Ford is a villain.
Yes. At some or point. The boss guy who dies of cancer.
Yeah, that as well.
Because of course he does.
We go to Colombia. The guy who was in charge of the president's friend, who he was working for, his name is Esterno Escobado.
Yes.
Now, I was like, hang on a second. Is this a real person? And I looked him up. And yes, there is a tennis player called Esterno Escobado. Plot twist, though, was born in 1996.
Right, so nothing
so
to do
nothing
with
to do
this
with
at
history.
All? Okay.
And then I was like, okay, well, maybe it's them trying to do something that actually happened, but changing the name. He does look an awful lot like Pablo Escobar.
Yes.
Hang on a second. His name is Escobado. Most of the letters in Escobar are in Escobado, aside from an R.
Yes.
It's the same. They're just doing Pablo Escobar.
Yeah. It's just Pablo Escobar. Yeah. I'll let, it's just a villain.
It's like, I don't know.
The whole point of the movie is that in the US government, there was, like, these official people who are doing things behind curtains, you know?
Yeah.
All these dodgy things, which are just as bad as, like, the terrorists doing things. And there's, like, bad people everywhere.
Mm.
Ooh.
It's all about, like, there's grey areas everywhere.
Yeah. It's all grey, as one of the bad guys says. But I quite like Pablo as a character.
Totally not Pablo, is what we're
totally
going to call him
Pablo
from now
Pablo.
On.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. The actor was
The actor was good. Really good.
Yeah.
And, like, at every single, like, gangster or gang or, like, bad guy just in general who's in charge of everything, they're wealthy and stuff.
Yeah.
They have to be playing some sort of indoor sport.
Every single... We saw it last week in The Mask.
Yeah. In The Mask, bad guy playing indoor golf.
Yeah.
We saw in this Pablo Escobar playing indoor baseball.
Yep, indoor baseball.
There was a quote here that one of the people talking about the prisoners and stuff.
Yeah, regular or extra crispy.
Yeah,
he was
regular,
either referring to chicken fried chicken
or the electric chair. Wow, oh. Funny goof.
That just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it did.
And no one addresses it.
No,
they just move on.
Just move on. It's great. It's great.
Oh dear. As you mentioned earlier, James L. Jones, I forget what the character's name is.
Yeah, good old Mufasa.
He, as you mentioned, gets cancer.
Yeah.
And he asks Harrison Ford to basically take over his role as the Director of Intelligence for the White House.
Which is pretty good.
It's a good role. It's a good role to have. Meanwhile, two other dudes who work at the White House, this guy called Cutter, who is like, I've got his actual title here, National Security Advisor to the President.
Yeah.
His name's Cutter. And also his bloke, I think he works for the CIA or something, I don't know, his name is Ritter.
Yeah.
They are scheming together.
Trying to see what they can do about the drug cartels behind everyone's back.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're like, ooh, well, the president mentioned that if he could do whatever he wanted, he would just get rid of them.
Yeah.
What if we just got rid of them?
Yeah.
Without telling anyone.
Yes.
And that's basically what they plan to do.
Yeah. So Harrison Ford starts to work on his, you know, new job as head of security and stuff. He gets the technical guy to do a bit of hacking.
Oh, I love the hacking in this movie.
Yeah, the hacking in this movie is...
so much hacking.
Yeah, it's hilarious. So
there's a scene near the end that is like one of my favorite hacking scenes of all time.
It was really good. It was really good.
Yeah.
Because he like guesses the password... by going through all these different birth dates.
Yeah. He just goes through, like, just a bunch of, like, birthdays. And somehow it works within, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah. Because the password could have just not been a birthday. But apparently it was, so we go.
Mm-hmm. Back in 94, you know.
That's all you did, birthdays.
That's all you did, was your birthday. While he is doing investigatory work... William Dafoe is approached by Ritter dude, the evil bloke, and he's like, hey, I want to hire you for this job. I want you and 12 of the best sneaky boys to go into Colombia and take out the drug cartel. And Dafoe's like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, all right.
I'm up for that.
I'm down.
Get a bit of cash in my pocket. I'll do it.
Yeah. So he goes off to get some military boys.
Yeah. They're so sneaky as well.
They are super sneaky boys. So sneaky. Because I think there's like a little training scene where they've got some of these like military guys on an army base.
Yeah.
And then we have this like field of long grass and stuff. And so the training exercises, they've got a whole bunch of commanders and stuff, like, trying to locate the sniper.
One of the commanders, played by Clark Gregg, Agent Coulson, from the MCU. Which was cool. Good. It's cool to see him show up.
And it was a really funny scene, because he's sneaking about, and the commander guy can't find him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he thinks he finds him, sends over a soldier, and the soldier's like, negative, just found lunch, sir.
Yeah.
And it was a McDonald's wrapper.
Yep. And then he gets fined for littering when they do find him.
Yes.
They're like, you're good, you're on the team, but also don't litter. What are you doing?
Yeah, which was really funny.
That was good. Jack Ryan, he goes to Congress, and he's like, hey, Congress, how you doing? Hope you're well. I'm good, thank you. Look, there's an anti-drug operation that the CIA wants to do in Colombia.
Yep.
If we get the funds, they won't be used for any covert military action at all. Whatsoever. Absolutely none. Just want the money to, like, do some investigating. And they're like, sure, have the money. And he's like, cool.
And Harrison Ford is like, perfect.
Yeah, because he doesn't know.
He doesn't know that half his, like, department is, like, doing this military stuff. That's right. Like, the other half.
But yeah, he gets the money to fund the Columbia expedition. So Defoe's team flies out and get there.
Yep.
As soon as they get there, the president's like, hey, Harrison Ford, how you doing? Hope you're well. I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Yes.
I want you to go to Colombia and find out details on who exactly my best friend and now former foe, but he's dead, so who cares? I want to find out who he was working for.
We're going to send you to Colombia. And he's like, oh, man.
Yeah.
They got me.
Yeah, like as you said, he's very, like, not in his element when he's in Colombia, which doesn't make sense to any of the other films.
Yes, but we haven't seen those. We don't know.
Well, I've very briefly looked over the plots. For The Hunt of Red October, granted, he's not played by Harrison Ford. He's played by the much older Sean Connery. He's in, like, a submarine.
Which is very interesting, because that's a different type of movie entirely. Yes, but
yeah. And then for Patriot's Game, it's just like an action film, where he's trying to save some people in Buckingham Palace. So... he's definitely been in the field before, so is this chronologically the first? Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
Also, who cares?
Yes, correct.
That as well. We cut back to Colombia.
Yeah.
And we realise that William Dafoe, while he's there, he's not actually on the ground. He's just leading the team through, like...
Yeah, yeah. Like ordering radio orders sort of thing, which makes sense.
And what he is ordering the team to do is just go around blowing up planes full of drugs.
Yeah, blowing up sort drugs. Of stuff. That's all he's doing. He's blowing up planes full of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
He's blowing up secret laboratory things full of drugs.
Yeah.
He's just blowing up drugs.
Yeah, well, if you take a drug and the drug's in you, he'll probably just blow you up.
Yeah.
Because just drugs.
Don't do drugs.
No. Otherwise, William Dafoe will blow you up.
With the explosives. This is a PSA.
Incredible. And then the president is like, all right, cool, we'll send some CIA guys down to Colombia to help you out.
Yep.
And we're introduced to Cortez at this point, who is kind of working with Totally Not Escobar.
Yes, he's like the information guy. Yeah. He's the information guy.
And he kind of like hears of this and is like, ooh, this might be my opportunity to take over as a head of the cartel.
Yeah.
So he plans to ambush the FBI guys and make it seem like it was Totally Not Escobar who did it.
Not
him.
Totally not Escobar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I should have said that. Yes, totally not Escobar.
Totally not. But it was actually totally not Escobar.
What? Yes. I'm just going to agree with you on that one.
Like, the middle one's sort of sarcastic.
Yeah.
So it's like,
they cancel totally each other out.
Totally not. Totally not Escobar. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean.
The FBI
guys. But it was actually totally not Escobar.
It wasn't, though. It was Cortez pretending to be totally not Escobar.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's totally not Escobar.
Oh, right. It's totally not Escobar.
Yeah,
I got it.
No, but it is totally not Escobar.
Exactly.
Yes.
We're on the same page.
Excellent. Sweet. Excellent.
Did that make for fun listening? I don't know.
Probably. Fun listening, not easy to follow, though.
Just like the movie.
Kind of. Shots fired.
This film is like...
It was very long.
It's just sort of like...
Very complicated.
The CIA, they touch down in Colombia, and there's this part where the main guy, whose name is Dan... He's talking to Harrison Ford, and he's like, oh, is the food here good? And Harrison Ford's like, yeah, nah, it's real good. Yeah. And he's like, how about the water? Yeah, nah, don't drink it. Well, then how do you brush your teeth?
Yeah.
Very important dialogue
in this movie. It's integral, you know? You got to brush your teeth somehow.
Yeah. And if the tap water's not good, how are you going to do it?
Yeah, well, you get bottled water is what Harrison says. Yeah. Then they get attacked by the drug cartel.
Yeah.
People
with so many missile launches.
Yeah, they had so many rocket launches, and of course every car eventually gets blown up except the one Harrison Ford's in.
Well, it's on fire.
Yeah, it gets sort of blown up, like the whole front gets blown
the
up.
The engine is on fire,
but yet it still somehow runs.
Now I have fun fact, I have been watching through the entire Fast and Furious franchise this week in lead up to Hobbs and Shaw, because I haven't seen a lot of them.
Yep.
One thing I learned from those movies, you just get a little bit of fire close to the engine.
Yeah.
Boom.
I can't disagree with you.
Yeah.
Yet at the same time, I will.
Okay.
You're basing your facts on the Fast and the Furious movies?
Yes.
Okay. But you know what?
That's the one consistent thing in all nine of them.
So it must be true, right? That even if a lick of fire gets close to the car, it explodes super violently. Like, it flies into the air because of the explosion.
Yeah. Look, it's realistically, it's probably somewhere between this film, in which the car does not explode, and those films where the cars just explode instantly.
Yeah.
So it's probably somewhere in the middle there.
Like, that car shouldn't be running. But anyway, so Harrison Ford survives, everyone else just dies.
They kill Dan.
Yeah, R.I.P. Dan, who was very concerned about brushing his teeth.
What a great character.
Yeah. He was really
big fan of Dan. So Harrison Ford, he's like, oh, I can't believe I survived that. I gotta go back to Washington.
Yeah, so he comes back home, you know, hugs his wife and says, oh, it's good to be back.
Yeah. And then she's like, you thought it was totally not Escobar who did that. But turns out I got a little bit of proof over here. There's this guy called Cortez.
Right, yes. I think they get like a recording. And then manage to match it to his voice and then figure out who he actually is.
Yeah.
And so they find, like
it's a long portion of the film. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Once they know who he is, they just bring up some photos of him.
Yeah.
And then follow him to a secret meetup.
They do indeed.
With
Cutter, yeah. Yeah. The security guy.
Yeah, for
the
president. Is he like the vice president? Oh, like head of security?
I think he's, yeah, like the national security guy.
They record a meeting of him with Cortez, and Cortez is like, hey, you can help me and I'll help you, sort of thing.
Yeah.
The guy's like, yeah, sure. Yeah. I love working with the bad guys. Yeah, let's do that.
So the plan is Cortez will kill Totally Not Escobar.
Yeah.
He will take over the cartel.
Yeah.
And in doing so, he will make sure that not as much drugs get into the US. A fraction of the drugs get into America.
Yep.
In exchange, Cutter needs to basically cut all contact with his team in Colombia, who are just blowing up things.
Yeah.
William Defoe's team.
You gotta stop this team of US soldiers from blowing up my stuff. Because otherwise, I'm gonna be out of a job.
Yep.
And that would make me very sad.
And Cutter's like,
yeah, fair enough, mate. Yeah. Fair dinkum.
That's it. How about I just call up the other bloke right now, Ritter, and be like, hey, Ritter, go and destroy all the evidence.
Yep.
Yeah, you will? All right, sweet.
Go murder those team of people we hired.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. Done.
Done deal, mate.
Jack Ryan, he hears the recording of this, and he's like, oh, there's so much political intrigue going on. There's so much.
Yeah, so much political intrigue, he says out loud.
He says that. And he goes and talks to James L. Jones. You know, he's not looking good. He's not in good shape. And he's like, you know what? I think I got to go hack into Ritter's computer. And James L. Jones is like, you are hired to be the man for looking after the American people. And if you think that this is how to look after them, you should do it.
Yep. Direct quote. And so Harrison Ford is like, right, well, we got to do it.
Yep.
And so he consults the hacker man. Hacker man's like, who are you after? And the guy's like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And so they hack into his computer and he gives him like a, what does he give him?
I think he gives him like a passcode.
And then the IT guy like calls up and says, by the way, make sure you're not on when he's on. Otherwise he could notice that you're on. And he's like, what? But I'm on now. Too late. Whoa.
Yep. And then we get the best scene in the movie, and possibly of 94 in general.
Yeah.
It's incredible hacking scene. It's so good.
Yeah.
This is like a race, but it's like a hacking race.
Yeah, it's a hacking race because the guy's just trying to delete all his files, while Harrison is trying to like get a copy of all his files.
Yeah.
And it's... computers have gone a little bit further since then.
They definitely have. Anyway, he manages to print off a page, and he's like, ha, I got proof. Very good. Yes. Then James L. Jones dies.
And then Harrison Ford looks up into the stars, and he's, Simba.
Yes.
Yeah, that's definitely what
happened. You have to go to Colombia.
You have to go to Colombia and save them.
But I will say that you are getting quite ambitious. Make sure you don't choke on your ambition. Another little Rogue One joke there for you. The same one from the Lion King episode. So he goes to Colombia.
It goes from like this very intrigued sort of drama, which by this time was getting quite tiresome, to like full-on action film.
And it was like, really, oh, here we go. The lead-up was very long.
Yes.
But the payoff was satisfying.
Yeah, the payoff was pretty good.
So, you know, yeah.
So Harrison Ford, he, like, goes and finds the guy in, Willem Dafoe, you know, to help him out to get his men back. So they team up, and then he goes to Escobar.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, do you know your information guy's planning to kill you? Here's a recording. And so they team up, and I thought this was cool. Because they, like, team up to go beat up this other bad guy.
Yeah.
Not Pablo Escobar.
With a baseball bat as well.
Yeah, he's got the baseball bat and he's like, you disrespect me on the day of my daughter's wedding.
Not Italian, but okay.
Yeah, no. It's nothing like that. But, like, he does the whole mob thing and it's like, hey, you betrayed me, now I'm going to beat you up with a baseball bat.
Yep.
Then just get shot.
Yeah, he just
then
dies.
All his men just get shot by one of the other guy's henchmen. Yeah, I liked the whole idea of him and like Harrison teaming up.
Yeah. And then it just like immediately dies. And it's like, oh, yeah. Okay.
That was sad.
That was sad.
Yeah. Big fight scene. And
goes on for a while. It's pretty good.
Yeah. There's a lot of guns, a lot of things. They managed to save the two sort of US soldiers, which are in like the basement.
Yep. Yeah.
Managed to get them out. Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have this nice scene of Harrison Ford trying to like get to the helicopter in time.
Yeah.
He's like climbing over these buildings while they're like waiting for him. Meanwhile, the main sort of bad guy, he like got covered in logs.
Yeah.
He got like covered in rubble.
Got pushed into a log stack and they all fell on him.
But
and
he manages to get back out
and
try and shoot Harrison Ford. But Harrison Ford gets on the helicopter and then the sniper guy's like, bang, you're dead.
And the Cortez, Harrison Ford's on the helicopter. They ride to safety.
Yep.
And all is well and good.
Except when he comes back and then has a talk with the president and the president's like, yep, you're not gonna tell anyone.
Yeah, you gotta lie about everything that's happened.
Yes, and then Harrison is like, nah.
I don't care if I lose my job, I'm taking you all down with me.
Yep, and that's the end of the film.
Yeah.
It literally goes to, like, a court where he, like, starts telling what happened, mm-hmm. and then that's credits.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was the movie.
Look, yeah.
It was very long.
So it was 2 hours and a half.
And I feel a lot of things could be, like, cut down in this film.
It's like, because it's the same length as True Lies. Exactly the same length as True Lies. And because this film is just dry. It's just so dry compared to True Lies. It just drags on way more, I think.
I think it would have made a great, like, book.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
I still feel like it could have been a bit more concise of the movie.
Yeah. I did like and that's like what I like about films like this is keeping track of like who knows what.
Yeah.
But keeping track of who knows what I think works better in a TV show format than a film.
Yes.
Like in recent political intrigue. Is
they should get this movie and then reboot it as a film series.
We'll get to that.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think perhaps a story like this just works better.
Yeah.
I think, like it's a well-made movie.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the craftsmanship of the film that I would say is bad.
Yeah, no, I thought it was pretty good. I'm rating it an oldie.
I agree with you.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm rating it oldie as well.
And mostly for the fact that when I think about it, I think I would probably just go out and watch a different Harrison Ford film.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm going to give it an oldie.
Yep.
Just because I don't think anyone else really needs to go back and see this film.
It's definitely not required viewing.
It's there.
It's okay.
It's fine.
Yeah. No, fine. We give it it's an really oldie fine. As well. If it was like 1 hour, 50 minutes, I would probably go goody because I liked everything that was here. All the performances were really good.
Yeah.
Anyway, that is our review of Clear and Present Danger, two oldies from us. Right. We got to pitch a sequel before we get into the actual sequels. I like the idea that William Dafoe blows people up if they have drugs. I just want a movie of William Dafoe's single-handed war on just blowing up drugs.
Okay, yep.
Just a whole movie of William Dafoe blowing up drugs. It's called Boom. The movie. Look, to be fair, I couldn't really think
drugs
of a sequel.
Drugs Goes the Weasel.
That's the only idea I had while watching this. Not very good. I know, it would get 1% on Rotten Tomatoes. What's yours?
Yes, but, you see, I had an idea. It's afterwards.
Okay.
Where the son of not Pablo Escobar is now running the thing. And he's doing his drug cartel thing. Harrison Ford, he's old now.
Okay.
He's got his head of security thing.
Mm.
It's all sort of in his past. Mm. Once again, conflict strikes up as these two forces are sort of going at each other.
Mm.
And this time Harrison doesn't mess around.
Yep.
Doesn't mess around. He goes straight to Pablo Escobar.
Not Pablo Escobar's son.
Son.
Yep.
And he forms an alliance with him.
Ooh.
To knock down on the corruptions, and the corruptions.
Ooh.
Because the US is also corrupt. Whoa. All
right.
And it's super meta like that. Harrison using his, like, US things to get all this, like, legit stuff. like Pavlo's son's just getting all this illegal stuff. And it's like, then like he gets some US Marines, which are loyal to him. And Pavlo gets like just his henchmen.
Okay.
And then it's just, there's like a scene of them in the same car, just sort of like staring each other off and like
nice
cracking like insults at each other.
That's cool.
It's a good time. It's a good time.
So what they actually did for sequels, first, in 2002, there was The Sum of All Fears, in which it's a reboot. Jack Ryan's played by Ben Stiller.
Oh, yeah.
Morgan Freeman's in it.
Nice.
And it's just them, I think it's got something to do with neo-Nazis, probably.
That hasn't been touched on before.
No, and it got fairly negative reviews, but made a lot of money. So
well, there you go.
Then in 2014, another reboot.
Yep.
Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit.
Oh, yeah? What a name.
Yeah, I know. I've seen this one.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
Was it good?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
But last year...
Yep.
They made Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan, an Amazon Prime original TV show.
Oh, really? They made a TV show? Yeah,
they did.
I didn't reference that.
It's... 8 episodes long, got great reviews, been renewed for a second season. John Krasinski is in the lead.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I want to check it out.
Yeah, no.
But
sounds pretty good.
I haven't watched it yet, but I've been planning to, and...
I'd be down.
I think that's the best way to do stories like this, with a lot of intrigue. Yeah.
Well, you were saying they should make it a TV show, that'd be better, and they made a TV show, apparently real good.
Although I think this one is more, like FBI rather than than like Washington.
Makes sense.
But so that's
cool.
That's Clear and Present Danger. Yeah. Whew.
What a film. I'm very tired.
As well.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, your two choices next week. We probably won't have that feeling because
You've
got two picks for next week's episode, Zach.
What am I choosing today? Tell me, Sandro. Tell me what I'm choosing.
In the Army Now is your first choice.
In the Army Now. Okay, all right.
Paulie Shore is a comedic actor.
Are you sure?
Yep. He's a comedic actor. And and in the film, he gets fired. And he's like, oh, guess I gotta join the army. So he does. And then a war breaks out.
This sounds like a sequel I made about a comedy movie.
Pretty much.
That we watched. And almost, I was like, wouldn't it be funny that when he got fired, he just joined the military? And made a thing. Okay.
Yeah, so that's one choice. Your other choice is called Airheads. You got Brendan Fraser.
Oh.
You got Adam Sandler.
Oh.
You got Steve Buscemi.
Ah.
And they hijack a radio station to force them to play their music. Or something like that.
Okay. Now, the first one sounded good, but this sounds like the peak of comedy. The peak, the pinnacle of perfection.
It's, I mean, Brendan Fraser, Steve Buscemi, and Adam Sandler.
We personally know radio stations like the back of our hand.
We know them.
So
we've done it.
We are perfect to criticize this film.
I'm pretty sure this is a community radio station as well in the film.
Done.
Or like a small country radio station.
Easy. Done.
That's what we did.
That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to watch.
Okay.
Oh, God. That sounds... It was like... It started off good and then just went down.
I think it sounds fun.
Sounds like fun.
They hijack a radio station to force them to play their demo tape. That sounds incredible.
That sounds amazing. Play my mixtape. It's hot fire. Yo, boom.
We, of course, always end with our favorite quote.
Yes. Regular or extra crispy. He was either referring to fried chicken or the electric chair.
That was a line of dialogue in the movie that we just watched. You're right.
What was your favorite one?
Mysterious. Ooh.
Yes, it was a good one. This is what that clip. Mysterious. Ooh.
Hmm. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.